Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah, Gideon, Tola, Jair, Jephthah, Ibzan, Elon, Abdon, Samson, Eli, Samuel. Y'all do have it. Perfect. What I want y'all to realize, and it says it, we're actually going to be in Judges 13 today. I want y'all, and well, I'm actually going to start in 14 because we've got a lot to read, a lot to talk about, and I don't want to take too long reading again. Let's see here. Judges 13, and I'm going to say this, and if y'all don't believe me, perfect. Go look. Almost all of these stories, here's what you have. Judges 13, your little subtitle there, which is not in the Bible, that's created after the Bible, but sometimes they're helpful. The birth of Samson. This is Judges chapter 13, and this is how most of the judges are going to start. And the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord gave them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. That is something that is incredibly repetitive throughout Judges. The people did again what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And then we have this plan, God's plan to bring them out of, in this case, the Philistines' hand. If we go back to Gideon, it was the Moabites' hand. But each one has, there's different people groups. It's not the same people group, but different people groups that oppress them. In this case, it's the Philistines. And what do we know about Samson? He's the strong guy, right? Hercules. This is going to sound dumb. My parents don't even know this. But as a teenager, you read a story, Samson doesn't cut his hair. You know what I wouldn't do all football season? Cut my hair, right? So we get these ideas in our head and these kids' stories of Samson doesn't cut his hair, Samson's super strong. Samson kills a lot of Philistines. Samson, Samson, Samson. And then we tend to miss the picture. And what I think, because there's all these stories of the judges, and what I want us to picture, again, last week I told y'all to think about who? Christ, the Messiah. Because all of this is indicative and pointing to the Savior. And what I want us to realize is through all of these instances, the judges are saving them from who? Saving Israel from who? Trick question. Themselves. Themselves. We like to build this up like, oh, Samson delivered them to the Philistines. Well, why were they in the Philistines' hands in the first place? Because they did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And that line repeats almost every time. They did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And so what happens? God delivers them into opposition's hands. And then the cry of the people comes out, and then God brings them out. We have this vicious cycle over and over. But I want us to realize that even, and we're going to get into, it's actually Ruth next, I believe, and then it's going to go into Samuel. And that's when we start to get into Kings, Chronicles, and all these stories. But what I want you to realize is even with a king, the good kings deliver the people from themselves. Kind of sounds like a Messiah, right? Kind of sounds like Christ, who's delivering us from what? Our sins. When the Jews had this whole built-up image that this kingdom of God was coming, they had an earthly picture. Right? The Solomon days, where they're pushing everybody out, and there's peace, and there's gold, and there's riches, and he's going to restore David's kingdom, and David caused peace by many wars and all this stuff. They're like, oh, that's coming back. In the whole story, the good kings saved the people from themselves. And usually there's always, except for Christ, there's a fall of the good king, right? David, Bathsheba, Solomon and his many wives bringing in from everywhere to sway him away from God. And there's always, if you read through Kings, and we'll get it, there's kings, and it typically says, and this king followed in the way of the Lord, but left altars to other gods on the high places. This king followed, but this king didn't follow in the way of the Lord, and God crushed him. This king, this king, this king. There's always a but, right? And oftentimes it falls under the instance of left idols to other gods. Left the high places to other gods. So when we're looking at Judges, I do, and even the whole biblical story, I want us to realize that this image of the Messiah has been painted since the beginning. I mean, we've talked about it a lot, right? We have Moses, we have Abraham being intercessors for different groups of people, Moses, the Israelites, Abraham, his son Lot, and Sodom and Gomorrah, and we have all these instances that are pointing to an intercessor, that are pointing to all these things, but we often miss the fact that he was never intending for this mighty man. If you want to talk about mighty men, Samson's it, right? Saul's it, right? He's a head and shoulders taller than everybody else. This bold appearance. God sends Samson, and he's this immaculately strong man that kills a lion. And we'll go through some of this, but kills a lion, kills 1,000 people with what? A donkey's jaw, right? And somebody that the people should rally around. But they have their falls and tends to miss the whole point. So I am going to start in chapter 14, Judges chapter 14. I meant to get to some of that last week, but we didn't have time, so you got it this week. But it all goes together. Samson went, this says Samson's marriage. Samson went down to Timnah. And at Timnah he saw one of the daughters of the Philistines. Then he came up and told his father and mother, I saw one of the daughters of the Philistines at Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife. But his father and mother said to him, is there not a woman from among the daughters of your relatives or among all our people that you must go and take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? But Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she is right in my eyes. His father and mother did not know that this was from the Lord, for he was seeking an opportunity against the Philistines. Who was seeking an opportunity? The Lord was seeking an opportunity against the Philistines. At that time, the Philistines ruled over Israel. Then Samson went down with his father and mother to Timnah, and they came to the vineyards of Timnah, and behold, a young lion came toward him roaring. Then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and although he had nothing in his hand, he tore the lion in pieces as one tears a young goat. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and she was right in Samson's eyes. After some days he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees in the body of the lion and honey. He scraped it out with his hands and went on eating, and went, and he came to his father and mother and gave some to them, and they ate, but he did not tell them that he had scraped the honey from the carcass of the lion. His father went down, and by the way, this little snippet, Nazarene vow, don't eat anything unclean. Was unclean to them, if we go back to Leviticus, you're not supposed to get anything off of a dead animal. Eat nothing off of a dead animal. If you kill it, great. Certain animals, if you kill it, great. But never, even a cow, if it dies, you're not supposed to go eat it. This is an unclean thing. So we're starting to build a little bit of a character of Samson. He's not necessarily this play by the rules, do everything right guy. After some days, he returns to take her and turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. His father went down to the woman, and Samson prepared a feast there, for so the young men used to do. As soon as the people saw him, they brought 30 companions to be with him, and Samson said to them, let me now put a riddle to you. If you can tell me what it is within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you the 30 linen garments and the 30 changes of clothes. But if you cannot tell me what it is, then you shall give me 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothes. And they said to him, put your riddle that we may hear it. And he said to them, out of the eater came something to eat, out of the strong came something sweet. And in 3 days they could not solve the riddle. On the fourth day they said to Samson's wife, entice your husband to tell us what the riddle is, lest we burn you and your father's house with fire. Have you invited us here to impoverish us? And Samson's wife wept over him and said, you only hate me, you do not love me. You have put a riddle to my people, and you have not told me what it is. And he said to her, behold, I have not told my father nor my mother, and shall I tell you? She wept before him the 7 days that their feast lasted. And on the seventh day he told her, because she pressed him hard. Then she told the riddle to her people. And the men of the city said to him on the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? And he said to them, if you have not plowed with my heifer, you would not have found out my riddle. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and struck down 30 men of the town and took their spoil and gave the garments to those who had told the riddle. In hot anger, he went back to his father's house, and Samson's wife was given to his companion who had been his best man. So there's a couple different questions on Samson at this point in time, right? We do know that his marriage was a use of God, but in your books it says this, and it's, this is going to be an opinion piece, but in your books it says that, and I will agree with this, the wording, he saw that it was good. Where's that from? The fall. Well, when Eve sees that the fruit is good, typically when we hear this word, that should trigger something on our mind. Uh-oh. When God sees it's good, it's good. When human sees good, uh-oh. And so when we read that he sees that she is good, it's probably talking, and this is what your book says, and I'm going to lean that direction. But there are other takes on that. Is he sees that it is good, and he wants to take. What do we know about God and circumstance? Whether you're doing right or wrong, oftentimes he's going to use that to glorify him. Bad things happen over the course of biblical history that we've read. Right? Abraham gives up his wife to another king. Not a good look. At all. What does he get from it, though? Donkeys, horses, like, he gets all this stuff, riches. It's part of his buildup to becoming a wealthy man, right? And so when somebody that God has put in place does something not great, God can still use that to glorify him, not justifying us to go do bad things. But that is the, oh, what's the word? God's plan always comes through. Starts with the S. The sovereignty of God. When God puts something into motion, it's going to happen, right? And so God had chosen. Thanks, Mom. I'm going to start asking you questions. It's good to have you up here.
That's who I ask.
The sovereignty of God. When God puts something in motion, it's going to happen. God put Samson in motion long before this point. We didn't read it because I'm kind of on a time crunch, but God comes to Samson's mom. She's barren. We see that also over and over biblically. She's barren. God blesses her. She has a kid on the condition, not necessarily the condition, but God, the Spirit of God tells him, or the Holy Angel tells him, hey, he's going to be a Nazarene. Devote yourself and him to me till the day he dies. So she does what? She doesn't have anything. She lives the Nazarene vow until he's born. And so we know this has started to be put in place early. And so just because God says, for they did not know it was of God, doesn't necessarily mean that the actions are condoned. It just means God's working through it. Because over and over biblically, even in Leviticus, the law has already been set in place. You're not to take a spouse from somewhere else. So the law's been put in place. So he's breaking his law. He's breaking a lot of rules leading up to this, right? Eating honey off of a dead lion. All this stuff he's doing should be painting a little bit of a rocky image. Because sometimes we put these guys on pedestals and we miss the point. We miss the point that God's saying, hey, through this guy, I worked. Through this guy, I worked. We've all got stuff going on in our lives and done stuff that we're not proud of. But hopefully we're the guy that God can work through. Not saying that we don't make mistakes, just saying, hey, through this guy I worked. He was a vessel. And so that's where we start to get into this Samson feat. And so what happens after he gets angry, right? And I'm going to paraphrase because I guess my dinger's not here, so I may be able to go long. Asher's MIA today. But we get this picture, Samson gets angry. And here's where you start to see God's starts the process of taking his people away from the Philistines. What happens, he goes, and this is the famous Samson story. He ties torches to foxes, lets them out in the field, and then burns all a bunch of stuff down, all the farm fields and all this stuff burns down, and the people get angry against him, and the people come down and are looking for him, and his own people, the Israelites, come in and hand him over. Are we starting to see more depictions? Each one of these stories look at and relate to Christ. Because none of the people that we talk about, Abraham, Moses, Isaac, Jacob, none of the people that we talk about have the whole picture, or Christ wouldn't have been needed. But oftentimes we get glimpses of what's to come through these stories. His own people come down and hand him over. They're like, hey, the Philistines are angry against us. Actually, it says, and if I can find this part on short. Then 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft of the rock in Edom and said to Samson, do you not know that the Philistines are rulers over us? They're like, hey, you're starting something that we don't want any part of, right? You've killed 30 men. You've burned all these fields. They're on to you. They know it's you. We don't want any part of it. So they bring 3,000 men of Judah, went down to the cleft of the rock, and they say, hey, don't you know, like, these guys are, we're servants to these guys. They're rulers over us. And he said to them, we have come down to bind you that we may give you into the hands of the Philistines. Oh, we should start having some pictures in our head right now, right? Own people giving you up. And Samson said to them, swear to me that you will not attack me yourselves. They said to him, no, we will only bind you and give you into their hands. We will surely not kill you. So they bound him with two new ropes and brought him up from the rock. And this is where we have the jawbone of a donkey story. Samson kills 1,000 men with the jawbone of the donkey. And then it says for 20 years, Samson judges over the people. And that's not where it ends. It ends with the probably most famous Samson story, and that's Samson and Delilah. And there's a lot to be taken of this. Obviously, he's fallen right back into where we started, right? He has 20 years of judgment, and then he goes, and in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah, and the lords of the Philistines came up to see her and said to her, seduce him and see where his great strength lies and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to humble him, and we will each give you 1,100 pieces of silver. So Delilah said to Samson, please tell me where your great strength lies and how you might be bound, that one could subdue you. I'm a salesman, so I read this and I'm like, well, how could I get out of that one, right? What you see also repetitively in Samson is he really doesn't know either. Where does your great strength lie? God. I mean, he misses it. He's had all these great things for so long. He's just itching it. He misses it. Where does your great strength lie? And he's kind of like, oh, well, and he goes through several steps, right? Oh, well, if you bind me with two new ropes, then my strength will be. If you weave my hair and tie it tight and pin it back, then there goes my strength. If you do this. And then he finally tells her. But when Samson kills the lion with his bare hands, what does it say? His spirit rushed over him. God's spirit rushed over him. Did he probably have long hair at that point? Yeah. But God's spirit comes over him. Next thing I want to get to, because somebody will ding me. Nobody ever misses it. One thing I want to get to is after Samson gets captured. We all know they poke his eyes out, tie him up, so he's blind. And they start to make a mockery of him. And this is an important part that I want to read. Now the lords of the Philistines gathered to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. And they said, our God has given Samson our enemy into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God has given our enemy into our hand, the ravager of our country, who has killed many of us. And when it's Monty today. And when their hearts were merry, they said, call Samson that he may entertain us. So they called Samson out of the prison, and he entertained them. They made him stand between the pillars, and Samson said to the young man who held him by the hand, Let me feel the pillars on which the house rests, that I may lean against them. Now the house was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there, and on the roof there were about 3,000 men and women who looked on while Samson entertained. Then Samson called to the Lord and said, O Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me only this once, O God, that I may be avenged on the Philistines for my two eyes. Where's Samson's head still at? Kinda, but he's like, he can still hear. Who are they praising? Their God. What does Samson ask for? Strength for his revenge. Not God's revenge. Hey, they poked out my eyes. So we're still missing the picture. And God gives him strength for what purpose? Kills all these people and brings his people out of this terror that they've been going through. But I want us to realize that these, first of all, put ourselves in their shoes, right? Jason's not here, but he always does a great job of that. Is somebody pokes out my eyes, I'd probably be praying for my vengeance as well. But I want us to think and reflect often, because there's instances biblically that we've already read.